gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. You know how I'm a totally childless, single, elderly, shut-in loser geek?
Yeah.
I still, some days, I love my life.
Why?
Like today, I get up and get my show prep. Who's going to be on the show? Lawrence O'Donnell.
I know, right?
Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
I'm going to call my friend Trish right now. He's going to die. I'm sorry.
Are you okay?
See? And I was right and you were wrong.
What?
I ran into Lawrence O'Donnell a couple of weeks ago and he told me to come on the show and he's coming on the show. You always say people lie to me. Lawrence would never lie to me.
People always lie to you, Kathy Griffin.
We're talking to you, Kathy Griffin.
How many times did she say to you in person?
That's how she gets rid of me when I run into her.
I know.
Of course I'll come on the show. Anyway, Lawrence O'Donnell, oh, man of his word, he will be. I'm so excited. You don't understand.
I can do the
promo from like memory. I watched it so many times. The bullet promo. You know what I'm talking about. Girls know what I'm talking about. I blame the gun for the first however many bullets. I'm not a gun person. I blame the law for the next. Oh, I love that promo. It makes me so hot. Anyway, I ran into him and his penetrating blue eyes a couple of weekends
Good
ago.
Good Lord, you're easily turned on, aren't you?
At the GLAAD Media Awards. And so Lawrence O'Donnell on the big show, very exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of former MSNBC crushes, David Schuster.
Yeah.
In less than a half an hour, whom we love. Charlie Pierce, who I love every week. He's my regular guy.
Sometimes.
My regular guy. Oh, well, when he starts Obama bashing, you know.
He doesn't Obama bash.
And Elaine Boozler.
Yeah.
What a show. The return of our good friend comedian Elaine Boozler and her new song, Facebook is a Clock Sucker.
Be careful when you say that, please.
Facebook is a Clock Sucker. Okay. So Elaine, fellow dog lover and comedian extraordinaire, will be on the big show. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. So we have a big, big show. And we have a big comedy tour. Much to my surprise. And chagrin.
Yeah, it's getting you out of your house.
I have to leave my house.
Forcibly.
Grandma's a little befuddled. We will be this Saturday, very, very exciting, in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm not even sure. I don't know if we have tickets. We may be sold out, but I think there may be a few tickets left for the late show.
Check Ticketmaster.
Some of the proceeds going to, excuse me, I'm coughing up the lungs still.
Yeah.
To UnitedWisconsin.com,
yeah.
Behind the recall, which I just heard from John Nichols on Bill Press's show, is gathering steam.
Sweet.
There behind the recall Walker and the Republican 8. So we're very excited. We're going to party in Madison this Saturday. The World Tour, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang, kicks off this Saturday in Madison, Wisconsin.
Did you see that Wisconsin and Chicago got about an inch of snow yesterday?
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's no Glenn Beck's Christmas sweater, but it's...
No. Uh-uh. Jeez.
Stephanie Miller's Kwanzaa thong or something.
Whatever.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. And it's exploding elsewhere. Syracuse already on sale. That will be we will be May 14th.
Yep.
In Syracuse, go to Ticketmaster.com. Minneapolis was the news yesterday. We will play June 18th.
Yep.
And I believe those tickets go on sale at noon today.
Today.
Today. Yeah. Noon today. They go on.
As the battle for the survival of America's middle class enters the next stage, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show World Tour is bringing their fight to the heart of Al Franken territory, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm in town here. I had to do a few things in the Twin Cities.
On June 18th at the State Theater, see the unholy comedy trinity of John Fugelsang, the ecclesiastical moot, the rocker son, Hal Sparks, and the spirit of progressive talk radio,
you sexy
Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000.
I like it.
Come be a part of the laughs and pure progressive inspiration. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, the State Theater, Minneapolis, Minnesota, June 18th.
Oh!
You sexy
Stephanie Miller. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Be there.
Ah! Thank you, Shano. All right. Thank you. And thank you, all of the country. All these Facebook pages popping up demanding the show. It's really quite startling.
Yes.
And heartwarming and amazing. Nicole writes, staff, dear mama, please, please, please do a sexy liberal show in Denver. Denver.
We love you, Denver. City by the Bay.
I am stuck living in Colorado Springs, nexus of conservative hell.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never ask your awesomeness to come to the Springs to do a sexy liberal show, but perhaps Denver City by the Bay could handle your sexiness. Steph, Mooks, Hal, John, I beg you, please come to Colorado. We have hippies, we have liberals, we have a GPS which will get you from Boulder to Denver in less than an hour. Nicole, yes, everyone remembers the story of the Democratic Convention whereby the guy that owns the show
right.
that's trying to get away with the life insurance money
yeah.
set it on avoid highways
right.
by accident. And so we got to Denver by way of Idaho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone from Denver International Airport to Boulder not going on highways? It's not fun.
No.
I was wondering why we didn't hit a single freeway on
no.
our way up to that hotel.
No, no. And what weren't we delighted to spend more time with each other than we already do?
But that was the first time I'd spent time in Denver, and it's a wonderful city. I really do like that city.
You know me, like I could make Jim Ward do funny voices all day long
yeah.
and just giggle like a schoolgirl.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really after the first hour or two of him going recalculating route, then that kind of wore thin
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, we need to get there. Joanne in Plimpton writes, staff, I hate to beg you, but I will if I'm forced to play. Oh no, I knew. See, I think that's why we're going to make an announcement, because we knew. Someone was going to make us play this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh,
yes,
oh.
Yes, you, Helen.
70s wuss rock.
How could you not bring the Stephanie Miller sexy liberal tool to Boston?
Please come to Boston for the springtime.
The bluest state in the country, the last real bastion of true liberalism, the first state to legalize gay marriage, and has never really tried to repeal it. Please, Steph, will you come to Boston or a surrounding area? Funny you should mention it. That's the breaking news this morning, Stephanie Miller. Because we wanted to get to that before someone sent that song, and we was almost too late.
Right.
Stephanie Miller, Sexy Liberal Tour, coming to Boston, ladies and gentlemen. July 16th at the Wilbur Theater. If you tune in tomorrow, you can get a special code to buy tickets before the general public.
That's right.
That is the latest city added to the...
Hooray, Boston!
And I think Shano just fell out of bed somewhere. Oh, I have another promo
another
to make.
Another promo to make!
God damn it. Why do I do this for free? All right. Thank you,
yeah.
Shano.
How all did right. he manage to say yes to all this?
I don't know. He didn't even know. I didn't know about Boston until I got in this morning.
Yeah,
so
I didn't either.
Shano, I'm sure, just fell out of bed. Hurry up, Shano! Why isn't that promo ready? And today, as far as I know, I will be on the Joy Behar Show.
Yes.
On CNN Headline News with Andrew excuse me. You know, I still have that phlegm.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew I just think I'm going to die. Bart.
He's the one who told people in Madison over the weekend to shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He'll probably do the same to you.
Yeah, well, in Madison and Saturday, I will repeal that. That's why I'm going. I will tell you to speak the hell up. Don't you love the crowds for Sarah Palin? They were mostly all protesters.
Right.
It's like the only Tea Party gathering that had any people at all at it, and they were mostly there. Oh, God. All right. Tim, listen, I don't... The Stephanie Miller empire is exploding. Eventually.
What happened now?
Tim, because I'm working on a book, as
yes.
you know. Steph, how can you write a book about your life without consulting the official unauthorized biographer of the Stephanie Miller Show, Gling?
Oh.
I've come up with a few possible titles. You Can't Fire Me. Oh, wait, You Can Fire Me.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Broadly speaking. Mm-hmm. Why, yes, I am some sort of comedian. Because we have frequently gotten that from right-wingers
yeah.
on the phone. What are you supposed to be? Some sort of...
Comedian?
Comedian? And my personal favorite, Don De Los Yikes, A Life or Something Similar. All right. No one will understand that.
No. Uh-oh.
All right. Oh!
What?
This is, we've been looking for an explanation for this forever, because I watch, as you know, entirely too much MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
The Cialis commercial finally explained to me.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Morgan with the fun facts. Mm-hmm. Staff, this is Morgan, your official pharmacist of the Stephanie Miller Show, Ding.
Oh?
People can't figure that out if that's a gling or a ding. Technically, in my box, it's labeled gling, just so you know.
Okay, I think in my box, it's actually labeled ding.
Okay, I was listening to the podcast of your Friday show. I would like to explain the Cialis commercial / clawfooted tub mystery. Jim and I frequently don't understand the side-by-side tubs because you can't really get busy when you're in separate tubs.
You're busy with yourself.
But then what's the point of Cialis is my point. Besides the walls melting and your kitchen becoming a jungle, I don't really understand the Cialis. I've never taken acid. I don't really get the whole...
As Aisha Tyler said last week, sploosh, sploosh, sploosh.
Well, it's sexy when she does it.
Well, yeah.
Everything she does is sexy. I just sent her an email, and I said, I signed it love and totally non-gay kisses that should totally not threaten the cracker that you lick at all.
Yeah.
That's her husband. She refers to him as the cracker she licks.
The salt off of.
Sure. Okay. So, Morgan, the official pharmacist of the Stephanie Miller Show. Okay, so the side-by-side, this is based on two facts of both Cialis and its manufacturer, Eli Lilly. This is fascinating for those of us that watch entirely too much MSNBC. First, Cialis is the longest-lasting of the ED medications, erectile dysfunction, lasting up to 36 hours. Levitra and Viagra last only a couple of hours. I didn't know this, for obvious reasons.
Why would you want an erection that lasts 36 hours?
I don't know the wonders of boner pills, Pardon?
Why would you want 36 hours?
This is what I don't understand. So the couple taking their time getting it on is just demonstrating that the guy doesn't need to rush. So see, in that case, apparently some men want to go to the opera for several hours before doing the deed. Jim and I were saying it doesn't seem like, you know, because the woman gives him that slutty look.
Yeah.
And most guys, you know, want to get busy. And she's like, let's go to the opera and, you know.
Let's do the laundry.
There's some new commercial, I forget where they're going, but they got nothing but time. It's just demonstrating the guy doesn't need to rush, or more likely the wife knows damn well she has another 35 hours to avoid that particular deed. She has time to make, you know, alternative plans.
Yeah.
Second, Eli Lilly has historically prided itself on being a family company. The modesty, separate bathtubs, I think I love Lucy and separate beds, in its commercial, is simply a reflection of its wholesome image. Love, Morgan. Except for the fact that they sell boner pills. But it's a modest family company.
I've heard. That sells boner pills.
It sells boner pills. All right. That's a... Thank you, Morgan, for that. I appreciate that.
All righty then. Apparently.
I didn't realize any of that since I, as you know, haven't seen one since the early 90s. All right.
Well, you turned
after
the last one gay.
After 18 minutes after the hour. Right? Totally. Okay. You know what? I think someone else besides me used a paper calendar. Because you know how Hal Sparks always mocks me that I only use a paper calendar?
Yeah.
Jesus. I have some Easter news for you as we continue. Oh. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. That's right, chat room. I am wearing a see-through shirt today. I'm trying to tart it up, sell a couple of tickets to the Sexy Liberal Show. All right.
Yeah,
Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
That's
check
right.
It out.
Yeah, but the sports bra is kind of flattening yourself out.
Shush!
So what?
Check it out. All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Stick them out. Come on. There you go.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. That's a liberal rack. I've got my peace necklace on and this peace t-shirt.
Yep.
Check it out. Nice piece. Okay. Hey, this hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Chris, Easter weekend, as you know, I will be in Madison, Wisconsin, where those people commune with Satan.
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes. Exactly. If you could take your organ out for me. It is Easter weekend, however.
It is.
I'm just saying. What would Jesus do? Jesus would use a paper calendar like Mama. So there, Hal Sparks, who always mocks me. Because you ask me if I can do things, sexy liberal too or whatever. I'm like, I don't know. I have to go home and look at my paper calendar. Mama needs to see it. I can't. I don't trust all of these newfangled electronic gadgets.
But it's always with you if it's on your...
I don't... I, Okay. Well, Last Supper was a day earlier, according to a scientist. For God's sakes, we're not the same sign that we thought we were. I don't even know if I'm a Libra. Now the Last Supper's a day earlier. They can't keep doing this to us.
What happened? Why?
Christian,
why?
You have to know what day to eat ham and hide eggs and stuff, for God's sakes. Christians have long celebrated Jesus Christ's Last Supper on Thursday, but new research released Monday claims to show it took place the Wednesday before the crucifixion. Yeah, because...
So the day before...
The crucifixion was Friday, so the Last Supper, they say, was Thursday, but now they're saying it was actually Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So two days before the crucifixion instead of...
Yes.
Okay.
Professor Colin Humphreys...
Oh, he's good.
Yes. Believes it's all due to a calendar mix-up and asserts his findings strengthen the case for finally introducing a fixed date for Easter. Because it's not, you know, that's not a fixed date.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's not as tricky as Jewish holidays. Those are, they're sort of stealth holidays. They're different every year.
Well,
and they kind of float around and you don't really know.
Well, same with Easter. It floats around.
Passover's
always around Easter sometime, but it might be in March,
not
it might be in
April. Not as stealthy as the Jewish holidays. They're always just like, they're very, you don't know when it's going to be and how long it lasts exactly.
And Passover was last night or the night before, I believe.
Yeah.
It was.
You just all I know is what is it? I'm forgetting now. But you have to get a gift every day of the which Jewish holiday is
Hanukkah.
It? Yes, it's a lot of days. That's just a way to get a lot of gifts, is what I'm saying. All right, and I've fallen for that. I have many, many Jewish friends, and so I'm just saying. I'm like, again, how many days in a row must there be a gift? Okay. Well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say the Last Supper coincided with the start of the Jewish festival of Passover.
Mm-hmm.
John, always the rabble-rouser, claims it took place before Passover. Humphreys concluded in his new book, The Mystery of the Last Supper, that Jesus, along with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, may have been using a different calendar than John.
They were using a paper calendar.
I bet John was me. John was the paper calendar of the Sexy Liberal Tour. Because when you think about it, that was the original Sexy Liberal Tour. Guys at the Last Supper. You know what I'm saying? That's the Sexy Liberal Tour. Jesus and his friends. And John was me. John was the one trying to, I don't know, I have a paper calendar. And so he almost missed the Last Supper because he didn't know.
So you're saying Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were sexy?
All right, there were no blackberries then, but you know what I'm saying? So somebody did it on stone tablets and then John...
Well, there were fruit blackberries. There just weren't electronic blackberries.
Right. Maybe they wrote it in an actual blackberry. Maybe they had a little knife implement of some sort, and they wrote it in an actual blackberry.
They crushed up blackberries.
And then if they crushed, they're like, oh, I don't remember what day. When was the Last Supper again? Oh, I don't know.
They had to do it from memory.
I sat on my blackberry.
Yeah, they had to do it from memory, and that never works.
And so whoever had it on a stone tablet, he would be better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a paper calendar of some sort. All right. All right.
It's Holy Week, and we're being sacrilegious.
We really are. I apologize for comparing Jesus and the apostles to the original Sexy Liberal Show.
I'm sure they showed some leg, though.
They were more a violent torpedo of truth, and I apologize to anyone I may have offended.
That may be even more offensive.
29 minutes. Well, thank God we're out of time. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with David Schuster next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Take it anymore. He doesn't treat
Stephanie Miller.
Right. Why isn't he grabbing her tush?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce coming up next hour in hour number 3. Lawrence O'Donnell from MSNBC. And a comedian, Elaine Boozler. A big, big show. And it never gets bigger than the magic moment when I say, hello, David Schuster.
Stephanie, good morning. You know, the flowers are blooming, the tulips are really pretty, and it all reminds me of you.
Aww. Thank you, David Schuster. I don't know if you happen to see, speaking of MSNBC, I was watching Rachel last night, and it's this thing that we've been talking about. How much smaller do these Tea Party rallies have to get before the mainstream media stops referring to them as this enormous force?
Yeah. I mean, it's. I mean, I. You know, I think there's a certain sort of freak factor that that the media enjoys, and you know, sometimes a good circus gets tiresome to folks, but it's still sort of a circus, even if there's only a few people watching it. And I think that's what's going on with the Tea Party.
It is kind of hilarious, though, David, when you think about it, that you know these pictures. Even Rachel showed these rooms with 300 people in them, and rallies with 500 people, and. You know, and some of these are supposed to be the big names, Michelle Bachmann, Governor Nikki Haley. I mean, but I mean, it's kind of hilarious that John Boehner is apparently, like, held hostage to all these Tea Party freshmen when the movement appears to kind of have collapsed.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like people are, I think, you know, the Tea Party is sort of tired of itself. I mean, nobody really knows what the Tea Party stands for anymore. Okay, maybe they stand for the trying to delegitimize the president by claiming that he's not one of us. Well, you know, that's, you know, sort of crazy. You've got, you know, people in the Republican Party, Karl Rove and Eric Cantor, saying that that's nuts. Then you have the Tea Party saying, well, we're for, you know, trying to be fiscally, you know, having some fiscal discipline, but the math doesn't sort of add up. Then you have some birthers who are like, well, maybe we need to be a little more concerned about smaller government, but that doesn't make... I mean, it's just there's no coherent message other than they're angry about something.
Well,
that doesn't last very... That doesn't tie an organization together for the long term.
It seemed to start off as kind of a libertarian movement, but then it was hijacked by the religious right, and those two factions don't get along at all, so they're kind of tearing themselves apart.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the other part that's been so fascinating about it. It's interesting you mentioned the religious right, because there are, you know, elements of the Tea Party who feel like, okay, we must essentially slash programs for the poor and the hungry and the elderly. And then you do have some organizations in the religious right are like, wait a second. I mean, you know, our sort of morality or values suggest that we need to take care of people. So you have that battle line that's been drawn as well within the movement.
I know that every time one of us in the media has to say this, we have some chagrin of having to say Donald Trump and give him the attention that he so sorely appears to need. Donald Trump, take
it. I've been asked so much about the Tea Party by reporters, by people, by a lot of different folks. Mm-hmm. And I've come up with a very truthful but very standard answer. They're great. They're great because they made Washington start thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are big thinkers, if nothing else. Right, David?
Wow. Let's just be clear. Donald Trump is a clown. He's a clown, and he is playing a very sort of dangerous game with his sort of juggling act, and that is his game is that, you know, most Republicans are stupid. Now, there may be some of us who agree with that, but I think it's a big problem for Trump's candidacy if he wants to be serious. I mean, here's the example. He said that if he runs for the nomination and he doesn't get the nomination, he's going to run as an independent and thereby guarantee that President Obama is going to be elected. Well, how exactly does that help Donald Trump with Republicans?
Yeah.
He's basically saying, I'm going to help the other guy get elected.
The one conspiracy theory I might buy. He's an Obama plant. I mean, because, you know, that's the thing, David. You know, you go, this birther stuff, it really is just ludicrous. But the funny thing is I love people sort of go, oh, well, except for that, he's got some ideas. All his ideas are crazy. It's like we need to reinvade Iraq and take their oil. We need to take Libya's oil. It's like, what? I mean, can you imagine if people actually were stupid enough to vote for this guy?
Well, and that's the thing that's, I woke up this morning and read there's a story on Politico about how now some of the establishment Republicans are now lining up behind Trump. Interesting story about how they, you know, are now starting to support his candidacy. And I'm thinking, wow, the Republican Party is in even worse shape than anybody imagines if that's the case, because he's taking them off the cliff. And fine by me, you know, if the Republican Party wants to sort of show its true colors, that it's cynical, that it's stupid, that it's racist, fine, follow Donald Trump. But it's just, I mean, I'm a bit surprised.
David, I think you probably missed then the huge breaking story, what with being on Politico and all, is Gary Busey has given his seal of approval for a Trump presidency, and I don't, you know, that's a game changer there.
That's a slam dunk. We should just
Someone that refuses to wear a helmet, I think, is.
Well, and the other, you know, the other story I love about Donald Trump, and this is, I can't wait until the day comes when, you know, one of the Donald Trump defenders, especially from the religious right, I suppose, wants to get out there and defend his candidacy, and we run the quote of Donald Trump saying, you know, my daughter, she's 24, and she's got some, you know, great curves, and I think if I wasn't married to her mother, I'd probably be dating her.
Yeah, that's, oh, boy, that's... Well, I mean, but here's the thing. You know, we talk about, you know, this crazy birtherism and, you know, is it just based in racism? And, you know, every time someone, they try to claim the Tea Party's not racist, someone sends another chimp email out with the president's face on it. I mean, have you heard this latest story, right? You've heard in California.
California. And that's, I mean, but also, I mean, I get that. I mean, you know, they're going to be, you know, crazy things that have happened. But what I've never understood is why is it so difficult for national Republican leaders or even, say, people in California Republican leaders to immediately denounce this guy and demand that, you know, he be fired.
It was a woman, actually.
A woman.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, for this stuff to sort of go on, and sometimes the reaction is, oh, crickets, it's, you know, it's always going to happen. So let's just, you know, we have to move on to bigger things. Like what? Like claiming somehow that Obama's not an American. I mean, it's just the effort to delegitimize this president at every level is just frightening. And again, at the end of the day, at least I thought we're sort of all Americans and we can have legitimate policy disagreements. But, you know, the way that this country now, at least elements of this country, are simply trying to destroy the president and the office of the presidency and this particular office holder, I mean, it is really frightening. And it just it underscores, I think, just how many problems we have.
The other big news, obviously, happened overnight, sort of along those lines, but surprising, is Arizona Governor Jan Brewer vetoed that birther bill. What do you make of that?
Yeah, and the gun bill as well.
Yeah, the gun bill, too, on college campuses.
She's having moments of lucidity. What's happening, David?
Suddenly, acts of courage. Good for her. I mean, I think she's right to sort of call a spade and say, especially with the birther bill, I mean, Arizona's got a lot of problems. And to the extent that the legislature is focusing on this kind of nonsense and crap, I think it's wise for the governor to call it out and say, you know, we don't have time for this stuff. There are so many issues involving immigration, involving, you know, real violence, involving Arizona's sort of own deficit, that this, for people to be spending time worrying about a hypothetical or a backhanded slap at, you know, crazy allegations involving the president that have proven not to be true is nuts. They don't have time for this in Arizona. I think good for the governor to point that out.
Listen, if the Sexy Liberal show comes to Arizona, I may have to invite her to be on it. I don't know what's happening. She's
It goes to show that there, you know, even though, I mean, I was concerned, well, it was a couple of weeks ago when she said that she thought that the bill was sort of interesting. Suddenly, I mean, maybe somebody got to her and said, look, you know, you can either, you can't sort of take a middle position on this. You can't stay in the middle of the ground. You either have to denounce it or you're supporting it. And I'm glad at least at the end, she called it out for what it is. And that is, it's ridiculous and it's absolutely a waste of time.
David, the other big news, obviously, is S&P issuing an unprecedented warning to the United States. Government urging Washington to get a grip on finances or risk losing the nation's sterling credit rating. I mean, and this, you know, sort of goes to further show that, you know, Republicans sort of took the shutdown hostage last time, and they're obviously the only ones threatening not to raise the debt ceiling. How is this going to play out?
Well, this is one where I've got some criticism of President Obama, because the argument is so clear and so convincing. You have to raise the debt ceiling. I mean, every economist, even top Republicans have said you have to raise the debt ceiling, otherwise we are headed towards economic catastrophe. It will trigger another depression. We're already starting to sort of see the signs, whether it's S&P or others that are warning, don't play around with this. So the argument is so convincing that raise the debt ceiling and deal with sort of fiscal responsibility, you know, separately. But there's President Obama already sort of giving some concessions to John Boehner, saying, well, if you'll give us some votes for the debt ceiling, then we'll, you know, we'll cut some more programs.
Right. And I mean, right. We've voted to, you know, lift the debt ceiling how many times in our history, including how many times under George Bush? You're absolutely right, yeah. David. This was never used as some sort of negotiating thing. Is like, you know, gee, if you give us your votes to keep the United States full faith and credit. I mean, it's just, you're right. Things that were no-brainers in the past because they were the right thing to do for America, they're up for negotiation now, apparently.
Yeah, and that sets such a dangerous precedent, because if you're giving away anything over what should be a slam dunk, and raising the debt ceiling is a slam dunk, there's no clear argument than saying we need to raise the debt ceiling, otherwise we're headed for economic catastrophe.
Well,
and why the president doesn't sort of say, stand up, give a primetime speech saying this must be done and we're not going to negotiate on it, I don't quite understand the political logic behind that.
Well, Tim Geithner, you may have heard this on Meet the Press.
Congress is going to have to raise the debt limit. They understand that. That's absolutely essential to preserve the creditworthiness of the United States of America. In fact, I heard the leadership tell the president that again on Wednesday.
But then you got Eric Cantor, you know, who, of course, is gunning for Boehner's job. He said the S&P announcement is a wake-up call to those in Washington asking Congress to blindly increase the debt limit. So, you know, playing politics with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's and again, when they're sort of so eager to play politics with something like this, that's, I mean, it's really dangerous. I mean, and again, I mean, the United States cannot afford to even sort of get near the area of, you know, messing around with the debt ceiling. And again, it just, I just, there are some rational people in Washington, but it becomes increasingly difficult. When this issue should be a slam dunk, and the longer it just sort of hangs out there, the more complicated it gets, and that's to the detriment of everybody. This is something that should have been solved weeks ago.
Yeah, although, David, I do think the president was smart with, you know, letting Paul Ryan go first, don't you? He was like that polite chipmunk, and then Paul Ryan went forward with his...
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
And, abolish Medicare and give the rich more tax breaks.
Yeah, I give the president credit on that. I mean, it was smart. Let Paul Ryan go first, and I think the way the president handled that in his speech was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I just want to hope that the president is going to stick to his guns in the position that he outlined in his speech. Because again, if the final sort of outcome is halfway between what the president is announcing now and halfway between and what Ryan has announced, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, the president is absolutely
right.
So
he needs to do it again. He needs to draw a line in the sand again on the debt limit.
Yeah, and keep hammering away. Keep hammering away. And again, if Republicans are so concerned about fiscal discipline, then let's pay for the frickin' wars that let's raise. This is the first, starting with the Bush presidency, the first time that we went to war, we didn't raise taxes to pay for it.
Yeah, he needs to give the speech that he gave off mic, on mic.
Absolutely. I mean, that was a reassuring, you know, at least I think that's the way the president feels. And I actually think politically he would be in a stronger position, if he took those comments that he made off mic and delivered them in a national speech to the American people, mm-hmm. and put the Republicans under the gun, put them, you know, squeeze them a bit.
David Schuster, I just enjoy our time in the hammock, in the love hammock every week. I just want to talk and talk.
I enjoy it. And Stephanie will have really happy things to talk about instead of all these depressing things, right?
I'm always tempted to say, what are you thinking about now, Blue Eyes?
I'm always thinking about you, Stephanie.
Oh, wow. Okay, you're laying it on a little thick there, David.
See you soon, David Schuster.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he goes. Journalist David Schuster. He was my former MSNBC crush. I'll be moving to my new one, Lawrence O'Donnell, in hour number three today.
There you go.
Slut.
You're so fickle.
Look at me, slut. 47.
Slut.
Yes.
She's a slut. Look at her, slut.
47 minutes after the hour, not 47 sluts, if that's what you thought I meant. No.
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 There's only one slut.
Right Wing World is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Wow. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Steve in Long Island. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks.
Hello.
I've noticed something one of my Republican parrot friends have been constantly saying. The same thing that Donald Trump has been saying, but he was saying it months ago. And I realized Donald Trump is getting his talking points from Michael Savage.
Oh, wow. What stuff in particular?
Well, the stuff about his college, everything about his schooling is a Savage thing. Michael Savage says we can't find his senior thesis. Nobody knows who he is. These are things that Michael Savage did months ago, he was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, the parrot just, you know, rah,
yeah. Steve, it's hilarious. I got this, you know, a long time ago from like a right-wing relative, and it's hilarious. Just this, no, but there's no record of the president anywhere. No one knows anything. It's like, what are they talking about? There's a birth certificate. There's a, you know, story in the paper in Hawaii, which nobody can explain. I mean, there's records from Harvard where he was the president of the law review. Go ahead.
My wife's boss went to Columbia with him. He's in his yearbook.
Right. Right. People were community organizing with him in Chicago. Well, you're going, what are you talking about? It's just, you're right. I think at its base, it is just racism. It's just, oh, he's different. He's some weird sort of racial mix from somewhere. We don't know.
That's why they're assault. That's why they're going after the Muslims, because his name sounds Muslim to people. Yeah. So that's another reason why.
Yeah, it's a dog whistle.
Oh, I mean, Sarah Palin's something on that birth certificate he doesn't want people to see, perhaps. That's why.
Yeah.
And that's what they're saying, that it would say Muslim. Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Steve. I know. It's really, I can't listen to that Sarah Palin. I can't even listen to myself doing Sarah Palin. All right. You're going to inflict some more Sarah Palin on me, aren't you? Before Right Wing World.
Of course I am.
We ought to pay tribute to him today on this Tax Day Tea Party, because really he's the inspiration for why it is that we're here today. That's right, the Tea Party movement wouldn't exist without Barack Obama.
You can hear the booing in the
background. You know, I think I mentioned I have this new salmon recipe. The blender sounds just like that when I make that sauce that you're supposed to make to put on top of
Whee!
It. Yeah, it's that. It's like when you go, oh, will grind be enough? And then you go, no.
Computer says no.
No, I need to put it up there on the frappe. The tea party on it. That's what that sounds like. Okay. Let's dive into Right Wing World.
Oh, do we have to?
Yes, apparently
that?
We do.
Oh, wait, there's more.
Boy, oh boy, do they get them their talking points at Fox News.
Yeah.
Obama's, it's a tax the rich road trip. Okay.
Well, this is tax day, too, while this is happening, and the president gearing up for what is expected to be a tax the rich road trip, but is targeting one group the right route.
Targeting the riches to make them pay their fair share. Yes,
actually, the vast majority
of
the American people, you know what they think we should do to solve this deficit problem, Chris?
Tax the
rich.
Yeah.
Let them pay their fair share.
Kind of makes Neil Cavuto adult.
Brian Kilmeade and Steve Doocy, not that bright. I think, they're probably like they put their big giant coffee mugs like on the talking points, and so sometimes they don't get it. It's supposed to be tax the rich road trip, not a soak the rich road trip. But
he's going to head out west and try to build off the momentum gathered, perhaps amongst Democrats after his 44-minute speech at George Washington University. He's heading out to the Shared Responsibility Tour, and the president plans on solving our long-term economic issues, especially our debt, by getting those very fortunate to pay more, and he's going to say over and over again, as he gets towards manifest destiny.
So rather than the deficit reduction tour, call it the Soak the Rich Tour.
Oh, that is so clever. Oh, my gosh.
Steve Doocy's son Peter could come up with something even better than that.
Okay.
And Peter's not that bright.
Speaking of Peters, Peter Johnson on the Fox and Friends.
The guy's so nice they named him twice.
Sure, sure, sure.
What we have in this tax day is a White House that says if you don't pay more taxes, then you're not being patriotic. There's a lot of other Americans and most Americans who say the opposite, that patriotism is paying less taxes, the government spending it better, and our economy being more efficient going forward.
Okay. Wow. Okay. They just got the talking point just goes out.
Yep.
His president just. Have you seen the tea part? The TEA tax enough already?
Hey,
Rush Limbaugh.
If Obama was a CEO with a private company, he would be facing an SEC investigation because of his lies about the nation's financial situation. Mm. There's no way Obama's ever going to do what's best for society generally.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have to abandon who he is to do what's best for society. He has been trained to be what he has been indoctrinated to be, is an agent of an ever-expanding government that limits the power and freedom of the individual.
Oh, Kenyan socialist Manchurian candidate.
Yeah.
Did he go down the list exactly what the president's lying about?
Of course not.
About our nation's financial?
Of course not.
Mm.
Rush isn't that kind of broadcaster.
All right, Glenn Beck, real quick.
AmeriCorps now is focusing on the inner cities, on going in to make sure that everybody's getting their food stamps and are on welfare that deserve to be on welfare, which is so weird.
It's about time.
Because it's exactly like what Acorn was doing, and when they first...
All right, live. I've had enough of Right Wing World. Thank you. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Did it again. Someone sent us animal video. Look at the kitty playing with the dolphin.
Oh, kitty, no. No, careful.
Yeah, the kitty is reaching his paw out trying to claw the dolphin's nose.
No, kitty, don't. Stupid cat.
I would not let my cat anywhere near a dolphin. Nope.
As Jim has pointed out, a dolphin has never harmed anyone unless accidentally.
Except when they're harmed.
Auto-asphyxiation, yes.
What? Auto-asphyxiation?
Auto-erotic asphyxiation.
What?
They can be horny. I've heard surfers
that's
have told
not,
me.
That's
what
not
that means.
Horny. Do you know what auto-erotic asphyxiation
no,
is?
No, I never leave my house.
Michael Hutchence.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Died from that.
That's auto-erotic asphyxiation.
I'm talking about accidentally while they're raping you. That's all. But Jim's pointing out.
Dolphins really, really, really like people.
Yes. Really, really a lot.
Sometimes
surfers.
In a sexual way.
Dolphins' yes. mouths are as big as a cat.
Yes, but they have no interest in eating cats.
But they are, exactly.
As far as you know.
They're not mean-spirited.
If the cat looks like a fish, then there could be problems.
Or if the cat looks like a Scooby Snack.
Your lesson is don't dress Jazz like a fish for Halloween.
If it's a catfish, yes. Dolphin would.
My right. lesson, don't let Jazz near a dolphin.
Which is a big problem.
And when would that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Bring your cat to SeaWorld? I don't.
Let's bring your cat to SeaWorld then.
Boy, what could go wrong?
7 minutes after the hour. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, who's here now. Yay!
Amazingly, because friends yes. of mine were back in town last night here in New York, and mm-hmm. we were jamming till mm-hmm. the early hours.
You'd be jamming.
I can't, yeah.
Jamming involves consumption of?
Alcohol mm-hmm. and Jewish food, since it was Seder.
Passover.
Passover, yes.
Yes.
You had a Seder?
Well, ish. You know, we've been.
A Seder slash jam.
There was, okay.
There was slash drinking party.
Soup with knadel in it.
All right.
And some Manischewitz.
No Manischewitz.
Okay.
Speaking of damning, as you know, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show World Tour starts Saturday in Madison, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very excited. Maybe a few more tickets at BarrymoreLive.com. I think only tickets for the second show left, so hurry and get those. Syracuse will be there Saturday, May 14th. You can go to Ticketmaster.com. Minneapolis goes on sale today at noon.
Yes.
Minneapolis time for the Saturday, June 18th show in Minneapolis. And just in, dear God, because we did not want to have to endure Please Come to Boston anymore, we're coming to Boston Saturday, July 16th at the Wilbur Boston. Theater. We will have a special code. Oh, come on. Please, for the love of God. Whiniest song ever.
It's 70s wuss rock.
Yeah, exactly. Our favorite.
It's not the whiniest song ever.
That's kind of whiny.
Which one's please, whinier?
Please come to Boston for the springtime.
Okay, so tomorrow we will have a special code so you can get tickets before the general public. Stay tuned for that announcement. Yes.
Like a safe word?
Yes. You'll get the safe word tomorrow.
Okay. It's not Mizrahi.
We're going to Boston for the summertime, actually.
Yes.
Not the springtime.
No. Yes. Karen writes, staff, as you know, Arizona needs your help. We need you to come and do the sexy liberal thing here. We need a large event that Democrats can look at and know they're not alone in this state. Please let me know what we can do in order to make that happen. Working on it, Karen. We're working. Working all the time. All right. Mark in Musselvania writes, dear Steph, I guess that's Minneapolis.
It's Minnesota, yeah.
Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Dear Steph, it's the listener comedy letter here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dear Steph, it occurs to me, what with this lesbian stunt. Oh, now it's a stunt? Maybe it is. Who knows?
Well, you would have hired a hot stunt woman for that.
Yeah.
For a stunt. So.
Maybe if I end up marrying a Kennedy or something, it will just be a stunt. Oh, well. And the attendant urges and proclivities, you and I have become rivals for the hand of Jennifer Aniston.
What?
Really? What? I don't think I've ever said anything.
You were Team Jen.
Oh, well, only because of that biatch.
Not in that way.
That stole her man. Not in that, exactly. Okay, fine. Be it. Bring it on. Bring it on. Mark in Musselvania, P.S. I get this visual of you and I racing to get to Jen's door first, strapping on rocket skates and jamming through traffic, trying to check each other into the culvert. P.P.S. You know, why does it always have to be so competitive? Neither of us has much chance with Jennifer. I mean, come on, seriously. P.P.P.S. Hey, wait a minute. You're just trying to get me to lay off Jennifer Aniston, you dirty sneak. It is so back on. All right, Mark.
Oh,
Mark's having a whole thing with me that I don't even know what's happening.
Into a culvert?
A culvert, yes. That's where you hip-check someone when you're on rocket skates.
I see.
Into Culvert City? Wow, that's a... From
what,
here,
what,
that
what
would
is
be
a culvert?
It's like a...
A bank?
Drainage
like embankment?
Cul-de-sac? It's like I don't know.
I don't
know. All right, listen, speaking of comedy...
I've never experienced culverts.
In this case, Republican comedy, you know, the Orange County Republican has said that...
Oh, yeah.
He felt it was supposed to be a joke with the president's face was on a chimp because his parents were chimps, and it wasn't racist because she has black friends. I wonder if she sent that to her black friends that she has so many of.
Yes, all the dozens and hundreds.
And it couldn't be raceless because she's a kindly grandmother.
Yes.
Did you say raceless?
Raceless. Oh, raceless.
Racist. It couldn't be racist.
Raceless?
Can you be raceless? I guess so.
Not when sending a picture of a chimp with President Obama's face on it, no.
Yes, she's finally apologized. That's the breaking news out here out of Orange County, California.
She apologizes if anyone was offended.
Well, she first apologized. Yes. It was a joke. She apologized to those of you so humor impaired.
Right.
Or racist that you would even think that had some sort of black connotation.
You're the real racist by even thinking that.
She has played the God card, by the way. What's her name? Marilyn Davenport. Please and thank you. She's an Orange County Tea Party activist. She sent out the email, blah, blah, blah. She said she is an imperfect Christian.
Oh, dear.
Right. So that makes it okay.
Aren't they all?
Mm-hmm. The Orange County Republican Central Committee will meet tonight to discuss the email she forwarded to her friends.
Hmm.
No word on if black... I wonder, you know what? She probably has two autocomplete ones. Is like, black friends. Like, do not send me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then other friends. She probably has a way to just weed out the black friends in case she, you know, is in the mood to send a...
Sure.
Simeon. Humor.
Wasn't
email.
She involved in that watermelon picture, too?
Yes.
Was that her?
No, that wasn't her, but she defended that. She did not understand why a picture of a bunch of watermelons on the White House lawn was racist. Apparently, Marilyn's never been anywhere ever and heard any reference of any kind to anything. She's like Nell. Maybe she's Nell of Orange County. Maybe she grew up, maybe her twin sister died, and she grew up in Orange County. Exactly. Somewhere down there. Maybe by sending off free, like in just like beach areas, just like a lava. Maybe it was a nuclear thing that happened.
I hear there are parts of Tustin that are uninhabited.
That's probably where she grew up. In some little hut in the woods.
In Tustin.
Until Liam Neeson found her.
Near the old
line
country safari. Betcha that's it.
That's it.
Until Liam Neeson said, no, Marilyn, that is racist. Most people know that making references to chimps and watermelons is racist. Don't do that. Mm. Don't do that.
By the way, I was right about a culvert. It's a device used to channel water.
Oh, thank you,
Jim. Allows
Thanks.
Water to pass underneath the railroad embankment. So,
try to keep
I know
up. Anybody listening, try to keep up with the train of the conversation here. It actually is like a script to Nell, this radio show. It's just,
What?
Huh? Culvert? Who said that?
Anyway.
You did.
In a way.
Yeah, but see, if someone just tuned in now, then they don't know what culvert means.
I know.
Not that it makes any more sense than anything I've been saying.
Anyway.
Okay, Davenport went on to say she was an imperfect Christian lady who tried her best to live a Christ-like, honoring life.
Sure,
And
racist, that, Christ-like.
And that life. She would never do anything to intentionally harm or berate others, regardless of ethnicity.
Sure.
Davenport then quoted a biblical passage from the book of James.
Of course she did.
And the Gospel of Luke. While I know many of you reading this may not be Christians, I want you to know I humbly receive your rebuke. Davenport said, I will not repeat this error, so I ask for your forgiveness, for I am truly sorry.
Oh, okay.
One of her racist Republican friends in Orange County said she has no business resigning. He thinks the chairman there blew a great opportunity to use this as a learning example and to show this to the committee and say, don't do this.
They need
okay,
to be...
Okay, if you're the kind of morons that needs to be told... You see this?
Don't do this.
Okay, don't do this for people who see it outside of our little white racist group down here in Orange County. I need to show you how to control your autocomplete better. That's what I need to do. That's what my God made a draft folder is for oversensitive, politically correct types.
You know what those people are like.
The humorless types that might think that... Okay, you might as well keep your organ out.
It's
speaking
out.
Of,
it's been out all morning.
Oh, dear. This is out of Belgium. A former bishop's televised admission that he sexually abused two of his nephews caused an uproar in Belgium Friday with the prime minister, senior clergy, and a prosecutor expressing shock at the way he made light of his offenses. The bishop spoke of his sexual abuse as, quote, a little game.
A little game.
A little game.
That involved fondling,
yeah.
But no rough sex.
Okay. Well.
So that's the...
That's okay, then.
Yeah, that's the barometer there.
Wow.
As long as it was...
That's
also
an imperfect Christian. They don't usually get an uproar.
Okay, wait.
Belgium.
There's a...
Unless you take away their mayonnaise from, you know, to go with their pommes frites.
They do that in Belgium.
Okay, here's a new low,
so
to speak, for an excuse for pedophilia. fondling, no rough sex, little game. We reviewed. I was never naked.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and the abuse was never about real sexuality.
Oh,
is what
of course.
He said.
Okay, just about fake sexuality.
So it's not abuse if you're not naked.
Hmm.
And there's no rough sex involved. Okay.
Okay, then.
So, okay. So this bishop,
yes,
in order to compare it to rough sex, must have had rough sex
to know what
to
that
know
means.
What rough sex is and what rough sex isn't.
Said the actress to the bishop.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. My friends say it all the time. It's like a punchline. I don't even know what it means. Is it from a joke?
It's the British equivalent of that's what she said.
Oh, I see. Said the actress to the bishop. Okay. All right. All right. So, when Jim gets here, things just get weirder.
I know.
17 minutes after the hour, but at least we know what a culvert is.
Yes,
that's what she said.
That's what the actor said to the bishop in the culvert.
At least they know what a culvert is.
When the dolphin was not having rough sex with the kitty.
Right.
Okay, huh? Seven. What? Huh? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now 1-800-STEP-12.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim. They think that they got the Last Supper wrong because somebody wrote it on an actual blackberry because they didn't have the blackberries then, and then it got mushed and they got the date wrong. You know,
sure.
It is. 24 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce coming up after the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's go to Elizabeth in Chicago. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to say something hopefully coherent about the Tea Party.
Well, you'd be the first.
Just pointing out that the original Boston Tea Party was against taxes, not for us going to England. Okay?
Yes, taxation without representation. That's right.
Uh-huh, yeah. And then to all the people who go crazy about, like, oh, it's our money, we're, you know, we made all these billions of dollars, they would not have been able to make them without our roads shipping them that we take care of.
That's right.
Our Coast Guard.
See, Elizabeth, you and I,
that go in and out.
You and I learned all that in school, where we learned the correct location of Plymouth and Concord. And Plymouth Rock.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Book learning. Look into it sometime, Michelle Bachman. Justin, my right-wing love muffin in Kansas. Hello, Justin. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good.
Good.
A couple of questions. I'm a conservative, and I'm a little fed up with the banter from both sides. Because the name calling, the vulgar language, the
for instance,
violent rhetoric.
Ooh, what violent rhetoric have I used?
No, ma'am, not you. My question is, why is it on the left nobody will show the reaction and the violence and the vulgarity and the racism that came from the left protesters
from the left
Tea Party? Nobody shows that.
I'm sorry, when was the left was violent toward the Tea Party? When? Where?
April 15th, when Tea Party had all their demonstrations around, specifically the
their
one
smatterings?
I'm speaking of, is the one that Sarah Palin spoke at.
Yes, and there was violence there?
You had a large group of left-wing protesters there screaming.
They were booing.
They booed her.
They booed her.
There was no violence, sir. I watched it on television. Did you watch it?
Yes, sure did.
So you're saying there was violence, but someone didn't report it.
I watched the complete airing mm-hmm. of how that crowd reacted. As opposed
and by the way, sir, they weren't left-wing protesters. They were Democrats and labor union supporters.
There are Republicans and unions, by the way.
Which is not on the left. I mean, Democrats and...
Republicans are not on the left, no.
No, I understand that.
Okay, what is your proof of there being violence? Why would if there were lots of violence at that rally, why wouldn't the mainstream media have reported it? The mainstream media has been reporting the Tea Party like it's the most important movement in America, and there's a few hundred people at most of their rallies.
That's correct. And if the violence had come from the Tea Party, if the screaming of the F words and flipping off people.
Okay, but Justin, you keep saying violence, and there's no. Where was the violence?
If that would have came from the Tea Party,
I'm sorry. Wait,
I
didn't hear that. Go ahead. Say again. There was what happened?
That would have. If the vulgar language, if the flipping off of people, if the screaming, hey, you're the token black guy, if that would have came from the Tea Party, then there would have mm-hmm. been your proof for racism, and it would have been all over the news. But seeing how it didn't come from the Tea Party, it was directed at the Tea Party, then we don't report it. And I'm just trying to figure out.
There was
out
a lot. I saw pretty much on every network there was actual video and audio of the rally,
mm-hmm.
of Sarah Palin.
You're absolutely.
People were flipping.
There was no video, however, of the people sticking their middle finger up. There was no.
It's not the Republican officials that send out pictures of the president as a chimp that are racist.
There was none of that. There was none of that video shown, and I'm just trying to find out why.
Well, where did you see it then? If it wasn't shown on TV.
Well, to me, it doesn't get anything solved.
Where did you see it?
I saw it on Fox News.
So it was reported.
Well, you know Fox News tends to use the wrong footage of places when it reports things.
Just palm trees in Milwaukee.
Just like everybody else does.
Just like everyone else does?
No, not everybody else.
They showed footage of a rally in California. Sorry.
Fox would like to have you believe that they're the only news coverage that shows the truth, just like MSNBC, just like every other news station would like
to have. Yes, except Fox News has been proved wrong. Sir, they used footage from an entirely different rally and represented
it was in Madison.
Okay.
There are no palm trees in Madison.
To make the rally look bigger than it actually was.
Yes, I'm sure. You know what? Jim, I bet you he did see a violent protest on Fox News, but it was not from Madison past weekend. It was somewhere else.
Probably from the, you know.
No, the
from
palm
Versailles.
Tree footage was, they're showing people roughing up people,
right.
which happened at that rally.
To make it look more
Madison.
Violent than it actually was.
Yes,
because
it
wasn't violent at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Except those violent palm trees in Madison. There's a,
29.
They're notorious.
They can be violent in the wind. 29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce next.
Stephanie Miller.
Know what else sounds fun? You start wearing see-through pants and living in a bottle. Come on, do it.
I'm starting with a see-through shirt today. Check it out, ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Yeah,
all
you
right,
can see
I'm trying to tart
bra.
It up. Sell some tickets to the Sexy Liberal Show.
That's going
to
sell tickets?
Uh-huh. 34. Listen, it's the best I can do. 34 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce just canceled. What? He has some sort of emergency running into a meeting. You know what it is?
What?
He knows that I was going to make him show up at the Sexy Liberal Show in Boston wearing a thong. He's trying to escape me, but he can't escape me.
I don't think Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me has ever made him wear a thong.
Saturday, July 16th at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, just announced.
That's right.
Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang and Charlie Pierce in a thong.
Yep. And be listening tomorrow because we'll be giving you a secret code to allow you to purchase tickets before the general public in Boston.
Secret code?
Oh, no.
I don't want a secret code.
I've had a code for a week. It makes you sound like Ernest, Steed.
It's
I eat it bad.
How did I give that a secret?
And you're going to give it to others tomorrow.
Yes. Steve in Chicago.
Hey, how's it going, Steph?
Good. Go ahead, Steve.
I was really fired up when Obama was fired up the other night. The other day, rather, and I think he should take it a step further and just have the right charts and pictures and whatever else the other side of the aisle needs to understand it and just say, hey, this is what it costs to run this country.
Yep.
And
You know what I think would get everyone's attention if he brought Ross Perot back with his charts and pointers and had him.
Here's this.
Now, it's just that. Can I finish? You never let me finish in the last campaign. Now, see, here's this, what I told you. Told you about the sucking jobs.
The
told
giant
you that.
Sucking sand? I got the direction wrong.
Yeah, told you.
Sucking sands in China.
Oh, the president is holding a town hall now. Let's listen.
And my plan does two big things. First, it cuts spending and it brings down the deficit. We all know how important that is. Just like any student on a tight budget, and I'm assuming there are a few students on a tight budget here. Let's see a show of hands. Any students on a tight budget?
Yeah. Ramen noodle eaters.
Yeah.
Well, I've been there. Just like you, America has to start living within its means. For a long time, Washington acted like deficits didn't matter.
Dick Cheney.
A lot of folks promised us a free lunch. So I think everybody needs to recall we had a surplus back in 2000.
Thank you.
11 short years ago. But then we cut taxes for everybody, including millionaires and billionaires. We fought two wars.
Yes.
And we created a new and expensive prescription drug program.
Tell it.
And we didn't pay for any of it. And as the saying goes, there is no such thing as a free lunch.
That's right.
So we were left with a big deficit. As I was coming into office, and then we had the worst recession since the Great Depression. And that made it worse because in a recession, two things happen. Number one, the federal government helps out states and localities to prevent teacher layoffs and firefighters and police officers from being laid off, and all that costs money. It requires more money to provide additional help to people who've lost their jobs or are in danger of losing their homes. So the federal government's putting more money out, but because of the recession, it's taking less money in tax revenues. And so that grows the depression, the deficit further. Now, if we don't close this deficit, now that the economy has begun to grow again, if we keep on spending more than we take in, it's going to cause serious damage to our economy. Companies might be less likely to set up shop here in the United States of America. It could end up costing you more to take out a loan for a home or for a car. Because if people keep on having to finance America's debt, at a certain point they're going to start charging higher interest rates. We won't be able to afford investments in education or clean energy, are all the things that we care about because we know it'll help drive our economy and create jobs. So we've got to tackle this challenge. And I believe the right way to do it is to live up to an old-fashioned principle of shared responsibility. That means everybody has to do their part.
Yep, including the rich.
So what my plan does is it starts with combing the budget for savings wherever we can find it. And we had a good start a few weeks ago when both parties came together around a compromise that cut spending but also kept the government open and kept vital investments in things that we care about. We need to build on those savings. And I'm not going to quit until we found every single dime of waste and misspent money. We don't have enough money to waste it right now. I promise you that. We're going to check under the cushions. You name it. But finding savings in our domestic spending,
the budget monsters,
only gets you so far. We're also going to have to find savings in places like the defense budget.
Yes.
You know, as...
Freebird!
As your commander-in-chief, I will not cut a penny if it undermines our national security. But over the last 2 years, the Secretary of Defense, Bob Gates, has taken on wasteful spending that doesn't protect our troops, doesn't protect our nation. Old weapon systems, for example, that the Pentagon doesn't want, but Congress sometimes keeps on stuffing into the budget.
Well-connected
special interests get these programs stuck in the budget, even though the Pentagon
says
we don't need...
It's your birthday. It's your birthday.
He's good.
Oh, Denny and Madison would like to take issue with our right-wing caller that talked about the hugely violent mobs in Madison this past weekend. Hello, Denny.
Good morning. To put me in perspective, if you looked at the video, there was the Jumbotron, and just to the left of it, there was a lamp pole. I was standing at that lamp pole. I have 16 years crowd control at the University of Wisconsin football games. When Andrew Brickbite got up there and chanted, go to hell, go to hell, go to hell.
By the way, I'm going to be debating Andrew Breitbart on Joy Behar today. I'll bring that up to him.
Please do it. Yes. Let me finish and listen to this. Because immediately there had to be, on the state law enforcement net call, get over here now. Because every state trooper, every DNR warden, every Capitol policeman came running into the backstage area in full tactical mode. By that I mean, if there were three of them, two would work their way through the crowd while the third one stood at the back to make sure that they could get out should there become a problem.
Right.
I've seen this numerous times.
So there was no violence is your bottom line, correct?
I saw absolutely no violence.
All right. All right, honey.
And as a flip side of that, earlier in the day, the Tea Party talkers were using every word that they could think of to anger up the liberal crowd.
Yep. Absolutely. By the
blowing
way,
your dog whistles.
Did you hear Sarah Palin yell solidarity?
Oh, my God.
I ain't hearing solidarity.
Oh, God. Claudia was also there in Madison. Hey, Claudia.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
I was there. My husband and I showed up, and we immediately just followed the firemen bagpipers and walked around the square. It was very peaceful. After that, we entered the inner ring where the farmer's market was going on. It was full of people just peacefully walking around with their signs, purchasing products. You know, I got some honey. My husband was eating cookies.
Yum.
You know,
how do you feel about someone saying, how do you feel about someone saying, but that's not what I saw on Fox News?
I really resent that, you know, because it's just so untrue. And I wish that the truth would get out there. I mean, I've gone to every protest they have had there.
Here's a tip, by the way. Check the foliage in the Fox News video to see if it's in the actual location that they say it was in.
Wait a minute. There are no panda bears in Wisconsin.
Panda bears.
Wait a minute. That was a koala.
Except
oh. Jim in Madison was there as well. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I was there. I was right there in the midst of the teabaggers at the rally on Saturday with my sign.
See how violent you are calling them teabaggers just because they call themselves teabaggers?
I call it like it is.
Yeah.
You know. But I personally witnessed the teabaggers initiating any sort of, and it wasn't violence, but it was... verbal harassment.
Were they flipping fingers, their middle finger at people?
I didn't see the middle finger myself.
Yeah, but I mean, sure. You know, when you got the leader of the thing, Andrew Breitbart, screaming, go to hell.
Yeah.
I mean, where's the violent rhetoric coming from?
Yeah.
All right, Sue in Rockville, last one before we break. Hello, Sue.
Hi, good morning. Could you please refer to me, Sue in Rockville, from this point on, please?
Jew in Rockville? All right.
No,
Jew in Rockville.
No,
okay.
The Sue.
Pardon us.
I'm
happy.
Yeah,
God.
Happy Passover.
Thank you very much.
Cindy Lou Jew, who's no more than two.
Listen.
Cindy Sue Jew. Heck, that's going.
Sue the. Yeah. I preface now all with the. But listen, this I think we obviously have early Alzheimer's. Wasn't it almost 2 years ago that every town hall was shouted down by paid teabagging thugs?
Yep.
Who screamed and wouldn't allow any discussion, questions. And does he think so? All I can say is, A, one, you started it, and two, payback's a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. They've been trying so hard to cast these Madison protests as violent, and they're just,
must have been some of the footage that this guy saw on Fox.
Yeah. These actual teabaggers.
Yeah.
I wonder if Mike Tobin was, quote-unquote, hit again by a violent protester.
Exactly!
Someone breathed on me!
Oh, my God. He's so Stewart from Mad TV. Pat in Madison. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I wasn't down to there, but I was listening on right-wing radio, and I heard a guy who was down there, a right-wing guy, and he said, well, he was disgusted as soon as he got down there because he saw police tires slashed, and he and the commentator were just talking about the thugs and all this kind of stuff going on. So I got upset, and on Monday I called the police department. I said, you know, were there any tires slashed of police cars? And they said, no. But that's what people heard, and that's what kind of perpetuates all
right. Yep, yep, absolutely. All right, honey, thank you. 46 minutes after the hour, back with Trumpiness as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, that is like magic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Lawrence O'Donnell coming up after the top of the hour.
Oh, my
You're so
God.
Gay for him.
Oh, my God. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. And then Elaine Boozler with her brand new song, Facebook is a Clock Sucker.
Be careful how you say that.
Oh,
please.
Boy.
I tend to mispronounce. Coming up next hour, the return of Elaine Boozler to the big show. Yay! Caroline in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Caroline.
Hi there.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good. Go ahead.
Over the weekend, they had they were talking about all the terrible wildfires in Texas. And they said that Governor Rick Perry had asked the federal government to declare certain parts of Texas disaster areas.
He needs help from the federal government. Uh-huh.
And I said, huh, I thought Rick Perry wanted Texas to secede.
Mm, good thing he didn't.
I guess.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Hey, goodness, we forgot Brian Kilmeade in Right Wing World. I saved it for Jim. Cause he...
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right.
We shouldn't be leaving Iraq. We need to stay there and cash in on the oil. So is Trump right? Why don't we cut the deal where we get a percentage of their oil, like Donald Trump's saying, so we get paid back for liberating that country?
You are an idiot.
Yeah. I think that was to counter the news that came out that documents revealed showing that it was all about oil.
Yes.
So.
No, we were saying that I love that people are pretending like, you know, the birtherism is the only crazy thing Donald Trump is saying. Everything he's saying is crazy.
Yeah.
It's a complete joke. I mean, that's exactly what he said. First of all, we need to reinvade Iraq, apparently, and take the oil. And he also said that we should, he added he would leave Libya. Let's see. He also criticized Obama's handling of Libya, saying the U.S. should just go in there and take the oil. That's his plan for that. He added we'd still leave Libya plenty of oil so they can live very happily as well. Wouldn't that be nice of President Trump? And I love this. He has the solution for higher gas prices. Simply tell OPEC to cut prices.
Oh.
President didn't think of that, apparently.
I guess not.
He told Candy Crowley, he said, it's as easy as telling OPEC members to do so, something
sure.
He believes President Obama is incapable of. He said, our country needs brain power. The president not smart enough. You need to have
that. You know what? OPEC just released a report yesterday saying that there's a glut of oil in the market.
Yes.
It's not related to
it's
supply.
It's not related to supply. It's related to speculation on Wall Street,
exactly.
Which needs regulation desperately right now.
He said, Candy, it's the messenger. We don't have the right messenger. Obama's not the right messenger. You see, Jim, he would tell OPEC to cut prices, but he would go like this with his hands. So it would be different.
Well.
So they'd do it if he said it. It's the president's not saying it right.
It has nothing to do with supply and demand.
You might as well tell it to the PTA and tell them to do something about oil prices. Cause it's
Jim, guess who the guy that's apparently, I don't know, he's behind Donald Trump's possible presidential campaign. Guess who he voted for in 2008?
Millard Fillmore.
No. President Obama. Registered Democrat. Michael Cohen, he's an executive at Trump. He also volunteered for the Dukakis campaign and worked for another Democratic member of Congress. You know,
that guy's fired.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired.
I believe somebody pointed out Trump's 2000 book. He voiced his support for universal health care.
Oops.
Pro-choice. He's kind of, he actually is just like Mitt Romney.
All of this is pointing, I mean, it's making me believe the conspiracy theory about Trump.
Yeah.
That
he's a
liberal. He's a Democratic plant.
The conservatives are coming out. Slogan. Did you see the Club for Growth is blasting his flirtation with Iran? They call it a publicity stunt that will sputter and disappear just as quickly as The Apprentice is losing viewers. He said, Trump for president, you've got to be joking. And that's the other thing. When you're more transparent about than Mitt Romney about your flip-flopping on issues, it's like, oh, come on.
Well, and also he's sending the GOP into a tailspin because a whole bunch of GOP people like Mike Huckabee love Donald Trump. However, people like Karl Rove hate Donald Trump. He's just completely splitting the Republican Party.
Guess who else hates Donald Trump? Who? George Will.
Oh.
Not too happy. George Will said, Trump is more important to the process than Obama administration ambassador John Huntsman, not because he's a more effective candidate, but he stands to make the Republican Party look bad. He said, Trump's more important because he can make a shambles of the Republican debates.
Yeah.
Just by being there, he can hurt the Republican Party. Will said he's had an epiphany. Now he's suddenly discovered at whatever age that he's pro-life. Brookings Institute senior fellow said neither Huntsman or Trump could beat Obama. He said, I think either one would guarantee the election of President Obama. So maybe we should get behind this.
I'm going to put gold leaf all over the White House. You cover it in gold leaf. That's class.
We need people that win. We don't need people that lose all the time, right?
Dear God. He better scoop up that Michelle Bachmann for the VP ticket quick, because she's...
It's my opinion that President Obama will be a one-term.
And it's my opinion that she's got a great rack. Huge.
Give him someone else to leer over besides his daughter, you know.
Yeah,
just
that's
saying.
Inappropriate.
Huh. Did you see that speech Michelle got Bachmann? She gave it to tens of people. It's really, wow, those
tens.
Rallies are something. Okay.
I can't wait to go up against President Obama. I really can't, because I've been in Washington, D.C., watching how what a failure his policies have been for the American people.
Yeah, I'd love to see her debate President Obama. That would be fun.
Oh, if only. By the way, I think we have a formally bet Republican woman. I very rarely give a Republican woman a bet. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer.
Yeah. What up with that?
What up? WTF, Jan Brewer.
What'd
she vetoed two. She vetoed the birther bill and the guns on college campuses bill.
Really?
Yeah, late last night.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
A clear setback for conservatives who run the state legislature. God bless her. You gotta play the fine American music for her. She said,
right.
I never imagined being presented with a bill that could require candidates for president of the greatest and most powerful nation on earth to submit their early baptism or circumcision certificates. This is a bridge too far.
Wow.
She said she didn't support designating one person as a gatekeeper to the ballot for a candidate, as it could lead to arbitrary or politically motivated decisions. She also vetoed a bill that would have made Arizona the second state in the nation to allow an individual to carry a firearm, either concealed or not, in the public rights of way on higher education campuses, because it was so poorly written. An Arizona Democrat said she knew those bills were not going to help with Arizona's image. All they do is put us in the national spotlight and make us look silly. She's saying she doesn't want that to happen anymore.
Who are you, and what have you done with Jan Brewer?
Give us Jan Brewer back! Maybe there's a headless Jan Brewer in the desert, somebody, and that's not really Jan Brewer.
There's a lot of holes in the desert. Somebody got bodies in them.
58 minutes after the hour, Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC next.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, be still my heart. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number is stephaniemiller.com, the website. I told you, Chris. I told you. I ran into him at the GLAAD Media Awards, and he told me he'd come on the show, and I knew.
Let it please be him. Oh, dear God, it must be him.
I told you he didn't lie to me. Good morning, Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC.
Stephanie. If you want to just continue with that introduction, I'm happy to just sit back here and listen.
Lawrence, I told you when I ran into you at the GLAAD Media Awards, I am gay, and I have the biggest crush on you ever. It's the weirdest thing.
Well, half of that is true of me.
No, I was telling you.
Tell you which half.
I seriously never miss your show. I was telling you, one of my girlfriends, Trish, we are on the phone every time, and like we go back and forth. Like, we do the bullet promo to each other. We're like, oh, my God, when he says the thing about the bullets. Yeah, it's really a bad crush.
That's thrilling.
Congratulations on the show.
Is that the word for it? Congratulations. It's work. It's this writing deadline 5 days a week, and I hate writing, and I hate deadlines, and boy.
Well, people, I don't know. People know or remember, of course, you produced West Wing, and that's what you were saying is, you know, you that's why you were so kind about, you know, Keith Olbermann talking about what it takes to do this 5 days a week, but you're doing an amazing job.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm really a writer by trade, not a talker, and I don't know a writer. They exist, but I don't know them. I don't know a writer who doesn't hate writing. And so I guess what we're saying is I hate my life. And, boy, Stephanie, how do you get inside so quickly? How do you do this to me?
It's my polished interviewing skills. I don't know if I have to ask you if you remember. I ran into a party at Arianna Huffington's when you were still filling in on Stephanie, Countdown.
Stephanie. I remember every moment.
And I said to you,
ever had.
I said to you, you're so great at this, you know you're going to get your own show, right? And do you remember what you said to me?
No.
You said, that will mean I've failed at everything I ever wanted to do in my life.
Absolutely right. That is exactly right. You're looking at my life as failure. That is exactly what has occurred here. My intended occupation is screenwriting, television and movies, and I've had reasonable success in TV and no success in movies. And so I had a couple of script projects going at a couple of networks, and MSNBC was trying to get me to do a show for a couple of years. And for a very simple reason, when I would go in and substitute for Keith Olbermann, I would get the same rating as Keith. And Keith is the, you know, leader of the network. And so whenever anyone – and by the way, that's what Rachel did. When Rachel went in and substituted for Keith, she got the same rating. And they said, hey, how about 9 p.m.? You know, and so they will do that if – you know, if you get that rating. So it's nothing personal, as they say. And so I didn't want to do it. It's not the way I see myself. It's not what I particularly wanted to do.
It's your backup plan, sure.
Well, it's like, you know what it is? Writers, it's hard to make a living as a writer. And so there are all these assistant professors of, you know, English at state universities around the country, and that's their fallback. And so this man in makeup thing is my fallback.
Yeah, exactly. Lawrence, I have to tell you, when you used to be on other shows just debating, I do have to give Republicans credit that come on with you because you are terrifying because you are so smart and, you know, having been there, you know every in and out of politics and what it's like.
Cheating. You know, it's cheating if you've actually been there. It's not like ESPN. ESPN has a lot of guys on there. Not that I ever watch it, but I'm told they have a lot of guys on there who actually once played the game. And so they kind of know what it is to throw a football or catch one or hit a baseball, you know. And in political punditry, it's just cheating to have done that because you have this vast body of ignorance being kind of, you know, thrown around from one pundit to another.
Yeah.
They know nothing about what they're talking about, and they don't even know how to do the basic homework to know what they're talking about. And so I feel like it's just kind of cheating that I worked in government. By the way, what I know is less than any of the other Senate staffers that I worked with. Everybody else that I worked with in the Senate staff were just in command of so much more information than me. I know the tip of the iceberg of what the least informed Senate staffers
know. Yeah, well, let me tell you,
that's infinitely more than the pundit world knows.
That, your blue eyes and the way you disembowel various Republicans, that is the source of the sexual arousal among many of my friends. That's what I...
You know, I don't mean to disembowel anybody or get angry. It's always a performance failure to me when I do that. I don't know what it is. It's the, you know, I grew up kind of a street punk in Boston, and there's a wire there around, you know, thugs like me where if we trip over it, it's just sorry. You know, the ghetto just comes out. So I'm sorry, and I'm apologizing to your audience for this, because I mean to suppress the ghetto in me.
No, you're a stand-up guy. You apologize to Alan Grayson, who you got very irritated with.
I hated what I did with him, you know. And you know what it is? It's the commercials. I figured this out. It's the commercials. It's that we have, as you know, you've done a lot of this MSNBC stuff and other stuff. You have this extremely limited window in which to discuss something that you sometimes think is important. And so you got the time's running out, and you feel urgently that you want to make this point. Your audience, I don't suggest they do this because really the hairstyles through the decades are sad to look at. But
yeah.
Charlie Rose has video of me archived online at his website starting in 1993 when I was in high school. And he has it going right up until last year. Some of these interviews are 45 minutes long, half hour, you know, and never once do I raise my voice, including in panel discussions with Republicans and conservatives. And I never once raised my voice because on Charlie's show, you know you're going to be able to finish your point. It's not going to be an interruption
right.
and shouting show, and he's not rushing to a commercial. And so that is the version of me that I would like the world to see. Unfortunately, you know, it's hidden online.
You're perfect to me in every way. Now, Lawrence, one of the things I enjoy, you know, in terms of your analysis, like I say, you were head of the Senate Finance Committee. So when you talk about how the president's doing, whether it's on, you know, this deal before the, you know, the government shutdown, now the debt limit, you have an understanding of what it's like, as you say, sometimes to have to be in the room and get this done and what he's been up against. I mean, what is your general feeling on how he's doing?
You know, this is it feels silly to say it in a certain kind of way just because it isn't said out there in the world, but I think he's done the best job he could possibly do. Now, I was never one during any presidential campaign who believes a word they say. It's nonsense. Presidential campaigns are utter nonsense. It's as if they are running to be Saddam Hussein. They're running to be the guy who begs the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee in the House of Representatives to do something that he doesn't want to do. And then the president ends up, if he's very, very lucky, getting some portion of the thing he suggested he would beg them to do when he was running for president. The trouble is when they run for president, they never use the word beg. They always
right.
say, I am going to do this, as if there is no legislature. And so it's just the whole presidential campaign thing is silly. I don't listen to a word they say. If he says he's going to close Guantanamo Bay, what I would listen to in that is, tell me where you're going to put that. And if he doesn't say that, then he's not going to do that. You know, and so. So it is with everything. You know, every single thing that a president proposes, I simply ignore.
Let's look at, I mean, even on the right, I mean, this is the big game now. Is Trump running? Is Sarah Palin running? And I saw a story even today about, I think Sarah Palin might be.
No.
Do you know, I mean, they just do this, don't they, for there to be a story?
Yeah, they're in the same business. It's called being a celebrity. Trump owns nothing. You know, he just sells his name as a brand that mm-hmm. other investors use when they build something. He doesn't actually own any pieces of these things. And he's a complete fraud. Look, how many billionaires do you know who need a job on NBC? Exactly how many billionaires are working?
I mean, if you failed at everything you ever wanted to do.
On NBC. Okay, there's exactly one guy who calls himself a billionaire and works for a network. Okay,
it's a
complete joke. That's his business. His campaign, by the way, is going to be over on May 16th. That's the NBC upfronts. That's when they announce their schedule.
Yeah.
He's on it. I know he's on it right now. I know he's on it. Okay, he's on it for the next year. That's how he makes his living. He has no other living.
Yeah.
You know, that's why he does that. And he's tried to pump up the ratings of the show, and it's worked. You know, in most weeks by doing this. But he can't afford to run for president. He's not a rich guy. He doesn't have the money to do that. It's an utter joke, and so we're watching an imbecile reveal just how imbecilic he is for a few weeks now, and we should enjoy that.
Well, forget...
Except when he gets into the racist, hateful stuff.
Right, well, exactly. I mean, I was going to say, forget the crazy birtherism. I mean, here's a guy saying he knows how to fix the country financially who's been bankrupt four times. I mean, I don't think any part of him could stand up to the scrutiny.
Yeah, but the blacks
love him. He's an utter fool, and Palin, you know, who also... doesn't know things, I think has a better sense of what she doesn't know. And she's in the celebrity business now, and she's done everything right to pump up her value as a celebrity. And she knows that she would lose if she ran for president, and she would ruin her celebrity bubble if she ran for president and lost. You know, she'd just become Ann Coulter at that point. And so she is handling it exactly right and you know, is never going to run and is going to stay rich.
Lawrence, what is the weird disconnect between the several hundred people that show up at these Tea Party rallies and the media is still covering it like this is some giant force that might shut down the United States government that John Boehner has to kowtow to?
Oh, come on. This was the inevitability of our so-called 24-hour news networks. I mean, look at your local news. You know, I mean, you've got the fire and you've got the kid who was lost and found or not found, whatever. And, you know, the politician is corrupt. That's it. And they managed to, and the weather, which is the most important part of the local news. And you know, and then they throw in sports and you've got like 11 minutes of material that even vaguely resembles news. And you know, you look at the nightly news broadcasts now and they've got about 11 minutes that you could call news and the rest of it is about your heart,
right.
You know, and,
right.
And you know, how long you might live if you do this instead of that and lifestyle stuff. And there just isn't that much news out there once you start saying, let's do a bunch of 45-minute news shows, which is what an hour is. My show's 45 minutes long when you subtract the commercials.
It's not long enough for me, no matter how long it is.
You know, so it's really just, come on. We got to fill Come on. We got to fill the time.
Lawrence, well, you do far more than fill the time. And because I'm so unnaturally obsessed with you, both personally and professionally, how are you doing? Don't you live in L.A.? Are you doing a show from New York? Are you happy? Are you eating enough?
You know, I don't like sharing any personal truths about myself except with you publicly. yes, it's known enough that I don't want Al Qaeda to know this. I don't want them to know how to find me. But it's known enough that I do live in L.A. and I have been commuting, in effect, in reality,
right.
To New York most weeks. I will actually fly to L.A. tomorrow at dawn, and I will do the show from Burbank tomorrow and for the rest of the week because I have things that I have to do in L.A. But most weeks it's five nights a week in New York,
wow.
And then the weekends are in L.A.
Oh, wow. See, I worry about you. Although I'm in Burbank doing my show right now looking at NBC, so you probably shouldn't have told me that because I'll be by.
You know where to find me.
Yes, I do.
Thursday and Friday. Wednesday, I won't get there till, you know, late afternoon.
Writing that into my schedule. Lawrence O'Donnell, do not miss him. He's on every night right there in primetime on MSNBC at 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. or excuse me, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. The Last Word. MSN.
Just reruns endlessly.
Yes,
like
I know.
All through the night.
Listen, I have insomnia and I still can't get enough. I sometimes wake up with you in the middle of the night. Lawrence O'Donnell,
baby.
You're very kind to keep your word and come on the show, and best of luck. We'll talk soon.
I'm desperately available.
Oh, God, I'm going to play that over and over again. All right, Lawrence O'Donnell, I love you. Goodbye.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Yeah. So, Lawrence O'Donnell says the news paragraphs have 11 minutes to fill. Only 11 minutes.
He should not have given me that information.
Oh, boy.
All right. Love him. Love him. All right. 20 minutes after the
He's
hour.
He's trying to de-gay you.
I'm questioning. See? Now I'm questioning. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, you can ring my bell in person if you're coming to the Sexy Liberal Show in Madison this Saturday. It might be a few, very few tickets left for the Sexy Liberal Show starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang with Mama. At BurryMoreLive.com. Also, Syracuse on sale for, what is that, May 14th on
That's
sale,
right.
Ticketmaster. Minneapolis on sale noon Minneapolis time today. They start selling, so get to Ticketmaster.com for the show in Minneapolis. And this just in Boston. Oh.
Yep.
July 16th in Boston, and tomorrow we'll have a special code so you can get tickets ahead of the general public.
That's right.
So you can butt in line, rudely.
We're all about that.
Yeah. Susan in Wisconsin. Hi, Suze.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
I didn't go to that rally Saturday in Madison because I wouldn't walk across the street to see that screeching bitch.
Oh, she's dear.
She's such a hypocrite. She was wearing a little cross necklace as she's squealing away up there calling Barack Obama WTF. And
yeah,
I can't stand her.
She's so mean, girls. But at least her voice is soothing, right, Jim?
We ought to pay tribute to him today on this Tax Day Tea Party because, really, he's the inspiration for what it is that we're here today. That's right. The Tea Party movement wouldn't exist without Barack Obama.
Oh, God.
My brain hurts.
It is that most annoying sound in the world from Saturday Night Live. That's what it is.
I thought that was from Dumb and Dumber.
John
no,
Lovitz.
See, that's
John
the great Lovitz. Level on my blender, but then Frappe is where she goes. She goes up there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the way, the original Tea Partiers were against corporations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's not a student of history or anything else. Okay.
Well, didn't it take her like 5 colleges in order to get some kind of degree? Yeah, she's not much more.
Or half a degree.
Julie in Seattle, am I a giggling idiot? Staff, every time you play Budget Monster and play the Monster theme music, I giggle myself silly. Am I an idiot, or have I just been listening to the Stephanie Miller Show too long? Probably both, Julie.
Yeah.
P.S. Durr. She's also a Kathy Durr fan.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodle back.
I'll have a tea bagger with a noodle back. My favorite trick.
All right. That's good fun. But you know what else is good fun? Facebook is a clock sucker.
I beg your pardon?
Hmm?
What?
By our good friend Elaine Boozler, comedian extraordinaire, who joins us next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's just so beautiful. Look at her. Are you digging for my heart in there, Tadpole?
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Hopefully Lawrence O'Donnell will forget my slobbering over him in that interview I just did, as I hope Elaine Boozler will one day forget me slobbering over her at the Ice House back in, I don't know, 1982. And you're so funny. I want to be you when I grow up. Something like that.
Did
That's
you
all
really
I remember.
Say that to her?
Yes. I don't. Listen, she doesn't. She's nice enough not to bring it up. She's all the rage on the interwebs these days, you know, mm-hmm. with her new song. Facebook.
I've forgotten how to talk, because all I do is type. I don't leave the house, I can only Skype. Woke up at night, my face implanted on the keys, my cheeks at tab, caps lock, but control is lost to me. My guy ain't seen my inbox since I got Facebook disease. Ignored my baby's lips and a pucker. Facebook is a clock sucker.
Clock sucker.
Penicillin won't help, have no use for Yelp. Got my 16th coffee and 15th super poke. I talked all day, but I ain't spoke. I ain't going nowhere, sitting with a Starbucker. 6 hours. Up in smoke. Facebook is a clock sucker. Left my man for Facebook. Didn't notice we were through. Breaking up is easy. Logging out is hard to do. It is. I can't do it. Facebook's a clock sucker. Time disappears. I sat down in 04. I'm still here. Think you set for privacy, man? I can see your underwear. Can't be late, but gotta update. Troll some hate. I'm bad, mother. Shut your mouth. And Facebook's a clock sucker.
Good morning, Elaine Boozler.
Hey, I love when you slobber all over me. I love it.
That's hilarious. People started emailing me about this song. I was like, what is that? And you know it's funny when I almost thought I had to hit the dump button several times. I'm like, oh no, she went right to the edge. It's okay.
That was the clean version.
Oh, no, we did send the clean version to our peeps from radio.
That's right.
That's right. Hi, Mooks.
Hey, Elaine, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you? I love being on the East Coast when I talk to you because it means I actually have to sleep.
Yeah, I know. I'm good. That is hilarious. What was the inspiration for that? Just that you were spending entirely too much time on Facebook like most people?
Oh, man. You know, my husband moved a Chinese family into the second bedroom. He had 3 children. I had no idea. My life went to hell. I sat down 2 years ago. I stood
stood up. I was fat, broke. My house needed to be painted and my roots needed to be done. And I thought, there's two things I could do. I can get off Facebook or I can find a reason to be on it more by having to work a song, you know, and then, like, network it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is you wonder, am I getting old and crotchety? But I notice, like, teenage kids, like, texting when they're all sitting together. I'm like, they're probably texting each other. We probably even lost the ability to actually have conversations in person.
Each other, of course. Yeah. Well, you know that Jesus came back about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
He walked the entire island of Manhattan. No one looked up. Everybody was texting, and people would knock him over, step on his foot. No one said, excuse me. And when he went back up, he said, I would have helped him if somebody said, excuse me, but nobody even said, excuse me.
You see what we missed? We went and missed the second coming.
That's right. Nobody is where he or she is. They're all on their little things, not seeing anything. Sometimes I just go up and take people's watches.
Yeah, I mean, no, but it's true. I mean, I think I was in an airport recently, and I thought, like, remember, I mean, every single person was on their cell phone. And I, you know, and it's like the second the plane lands, the second it, you know, before it takes off, everybody's on it. And I thought, remember when you couldn't get a call until you got home?
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I mean, I think, first of all, no one has anything to say, so it's fascinating that they're so busy saying it. Number two is, I think women all made men go to therapy in the 90s. And force them to share their feelings, and now no one can shut up.
we didn't mean that much, really. Shut
it's
up now, seriously.
Careful what you wish for, right? That's pretty much it. I have a good idea for you. I worked with John Fugelsang in New York last week. Mm-hmm.
The sexy liberal, yes.
Oh, my God, yeah. He was giving previews of your incredible upcoming shows.
Yeah.
And I thought a good thing for you in Wisconsin would be, because here's my thought, if they don't want a collective bargaining, then there's about a million people in all different unions in Wisconsin. They should all line up on the same morning and individually negotiate their contracts with the governor.
There you go. I guess if he has time when he's not talking to fake David Cokes.
If he doesn't like collective bargaining, single bargaining. People should line up
with their single bargaining
and say, okay, so what are you gonna, what am I going to make this year? They should just line up and
there
start
you go. There you go. Now, the other love we share besides you know, the interwebs and Facebook is dogs, of course.
Yes.
My dog, Max and Fred are fine. Thank you for asking. Oh. They're the most handsome man in the world. You speak dog. I know you do.
I do.
You have.
My biggest fear is not a bad photo. It's that someone will record me speaking to the dog.
Yeah. I can't help it. It's the only people.
I don't care.
You know, and you probably get emails. I'm looking at one right now from Thomas. You probably get these too. Hi, Seth. This is Lothar, my Pomeranian, pictured below in his panda costume and saying his bedtime prayers. So you probably get a lot of those pictures too.
Well, I do, but here's an interesting thing about dressing your dog. It prevents other dogs from seeing signals that dogs give each other physically to know if they're friendly, if they're warning each other off with something. You know, it's not the safest thing in the world. So aside from Halloween or when it's really freezing out, maybe you should just let them be dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Besides, they're probably...
As far as saying your prayers, well, you know, half this country doesn't believe dogs go to heaven, so don't force them. Charlie Sheen solution. You ready?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I think he should go to Japan because everybody will be so cheered up because they'll say, wait a minute, this is bad, but that's a disaster.
compared to everything else.
Compared to everything. Yes. And did you see like 200 tornadoes this weekend?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Now, okay, so why is it when something happens in a big city, you know, Pat Robertson immediately tells you which gay person to blame, but when it's tornadoes in the South, it's nobody's fault.
Yes. Yeah. That's just,
I'm still confused about the earthquake in Japan because Pat Robertson has not told us which gay person to blame. I wish he'd come and tell us already.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, well, actually, he did kind of have an explanation for that because a tsunami wave kind of hit Hawaii, and he said it was because Hawaii just passed their domestic partnership law.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not because Obama was allegedly born there?
No.
I see.
Yeah. By the way,
and he had to go through Japan to get to Hawaii.
Did you see the latest Republican joke? They call it a joke. It's this Orange County woman sent a picture of the president with his face superimposed on a chip.
I did. Mm-hmm. What was your take on it? I woke up late and didn't hear it.
Oh, well, she says that she is not racist. She has lots of black friends, as you can imagine.
Oh, well, that's the dead giveaway.
Right.
And you have lots of black friends. Yeah.
She said, speaking to Pat Robertson, she said she's an imperfect Christian. That's what happened.
Oh, that's so rare, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's fascinating that people who don't believe in evolution would show him as a chimp, and I also think it's fascinating that the people who don't believe in evolution seem to always prove their own case.
They go out of their way. Yeah, I mean, you know, you've been talking about politics for a long time. Is it worse with this president? It seems like it, doesn't it?
Well, what's fascinating is with Bush, we were so chastised of not supporting this president publicly, and don't you say anything. And, of course, they cowed the cowardly Democrats into just shutting up and going along. With Obama, you know, the gloves are off, all bets are off. I voted for Nader, so I'm not an apologist for anyone.
Right.
But what I see going on makes me defend him so thoroughly because they're so disgusting. And there used to be a veneer of some kind of, you know, professionality in sports and politics, and now they don't mind if you think they're scumbags. They are, and they'll let you know it. And I just think, you know, my joke was when they were going to shut the government down, I said, as soon as they do, let's change the law.
Don't let them back in. There you go.
They don't belong there.
Yeah.
They don't. If they can't even be civil, I mean, you know, when they show Parliament on C-SPAN, if you can stay awake long enough.
Yeah.
It's interesting. They're sir, the gentleman, and they're screaming, but they're still civil.
Yeah.
And this Congress, they used to desire a veneer of looking honest and hardworking, and now they don't even care what you think. They're just taking the money right in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
It is vile. It is vile. You know.
What's your take?
Really?
What's your take on the Tea Party? Are they done? Or I mean, I always wonder like how much smaller these gatherings are going to have to get before the mainstream media stops treating them like this fearsome huge movement.
Well, real tea parties are, you know, usually about 3-5-year-old girls, so I'm kind of hanging on for that.
They'll stop covering when it's literally 3-5-year-old girls in dresses.
You know, I mean, did you burn your bra for this? I didn't burn my bra for this in the 70s. I'm older than you, but I didn't burn my bra to have Geraldine Ferraro die and be left with Christine O'Donnell, Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin as the witch, the snitch, and the bitch, and Where's the Lion in the Wardrobe? I mean, this is like if you marched for 10 years or 10 decades for civil rights if you were black, and you killed yourself to get rights, and all you got left with was O.J. and Don King.
Yeah, exactly. No, that would happen, you know, during the presidential campaign. Every time I criticize Sarah Palin, by saying something insane, like I don't think she's even vaguely qualified to be president of the United States, you know, they'd say, oh, you're just jealous. You're just, you know, because she's pretty. Like, what?
No. Anyone who doesn't argue on the facts doesn't even deserve a response. Just forget it. You know, I mean, the great thing about Michelle Bachmann is it's not one bimbo has knocked another bimbo off the front pages for a bit. And that's great. I hope Trump runs, too. I hope they all go to debates in a clown car and they all get out and with their, you know, their little elephants. So we'll leave the elephants alone. But, you know, they're all crazy. Good. I hope they all throw their hats.
Yeah. What do you think? Well, I don't know if you heard, but, I mean, the big news is that Gary Busey has gotten his Donald Trump has gotten the all-important Gary Busey in endorsement for president. From
I believe Gary Busey is slated for Drug Czar, isn't he?
Yes. He got booted off the Celebrity Apprentice last night, but he's yeah.
Is that because he was licking the table when they'd have the meeting at the end? I liked him. You know, I love the guy. I mean, he hit his head on a motorcycle, so you have to give him some leeway.
Yeah.
He still makes more sense than anybody I've heard in the Republican Party talking about women's rights, which, by the way, do you know what the Republicans have redefined rape as?
Oh, what's that?
Strangers with benefits.
Oh,
yes,
geez.
Yes, it's surreal. No, it's gotten bad on the on the pro-choice front. Trust me,
we're getting so far back. So Trump, you know, who do you think is going to sleep in the Sinatra bedroom?
All right, the song is at ElaineBoozler.com. It is Facebook.
And on YouTube.
And on YouTube, Facebook is a cocksucker, which is hilarious. As is Elaine Boozler, our good friend. We've missed you so. Let's not make it so long next time.
No, we'll come back. I mean, Meryl and I have not done anything since we stupidly decided to sleep late. So if you'll have us any time, we'd love to come back.
I would love that.
And we miss the guys. So
I miss you too.
See the sexy liberal comedy tour because it's, from what I saw last week, man, I would travel to see this. You guys are rocking and it's
well,
so needed.
That means a lot from comedian extraordinaire Elaine Boozler. Well, we'd love to have you back. I know. We people are like, what happened with Elaine? We're like, she didn't want to get up anymore.
Yeah.
There was nothing. There's no scandal.
Nothing more than that. That's shallow.
Yeah. There was no backstage fight or anything. It was just you didn't want to get up that early anymore.
Isn't that sad?
That because you were on Facebook all night, probably. Yeah. All right. Elaine Boozler, love you, honey. Talk to you soon.
Love you guys. Thank you.
All right. There she goes. And Tales of Joy is her...
Talesofjoy.net is the website.
Yes. Awesome. She's just a hero in the comedy and the dog rescue worlds. Yep. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with Celebrity Stack and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
Yeah, it's because no one's offering any other kind. 51 minutes to the hour.
Oh.
Maybe at the Sexy Liberal Show Saturday.
Maybe
at, maybe at the Meet and Grope.
Maybe Andrew Breitbart will throw himself at you today.
Yeah. I'll be on the Joy Behar show today with Andrew Breitbart.
I just think I'm going to buy a pack.
I think that's tonight at 10 Eastern.
And you told me, you gave me a little warning that he's particularly vicious lately.
Yeah, ever since the whole Shirley Sherrod thing, he's gotten really vicious and not very smart.
Now a warning. So,
now
a warning after I've already accepted the booking. what is the point of you?
So I just want you to be aware that he may try and bully you, but you're good at handling that. So
no, I'm not. It's during my nap time.
Oh, uh-oh.
Just call him Andrew Breitbarf. He'll love that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. By the by, I was mentioning to Elaine, Tom from Hawaii. He sent me pictures. Look, there's Lothar's dumb Pomeranian. Chris, Jim, and Steph, I live in Honolulu, blah, blah, blah. Lothar, my Pomeranian, pictured here in his panda suit and saying his bedtime prayers. Loves it when Steph talks in her dog mama voice about Mags and Fred being handsome because he thinks I'm jocking at him. Anyway, can I have my high school educational film strip music? Mrs. Davenport, that's the Republican County sent the chimp
email.
Yes. The email depicting President Obama as a chimpanzee, people who claim that it's not racist and no worse than cartoons depicting George Bush as an ape or monkey are displaying a remarkable ignorance of historical fact.
Yes.
Would you like us to explain why?
Yes.
Centuries-old tradition known as scientific racism, where white supremacists have presented so-called scientific studies claiming blacks are actually a subspecies more closely related to apes than humans in an effort to justify discrimination and denial of civil rights. Such junk science has been presented for centuries in the U.S., still promoted by some white supremacists today, and dating back to the Civil War. Nazi Germany also famously propagated the myth that non-white people, especially blacks, are inferior, something less than human, and therefore not worthy of the same rights as whites. Keep up the good work. We'd love it if the Sexy Liberal Show would come to Honolulu. Well, that's... Somebody should start working on that immediately.
I'm going to see Lothar. Who's a good boy in a panda suit?
Lothar the Pomeranian?
Lothar
just signifies like a pit bull to me. It doesn't signify a Pomeranian.
It's a rather ridiculous looking Pomeranian praise at bedtime. All right.
I'm sure it's very cute.
All right, Celebrity Stack. Oh, Jim. Mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger. The Governators. Bemoaning the loss of his looks. He dreads staring at his reflection in the mirror because he's convinced the aging process. His looks have gone hasta la vista. My looks got back in the chopper.
My looks, yeah, I went back to the chopper.
They won't be back.
Will
not be back.
Now I have the man boobs and things of this nature. With the gravity and the sagging all of this.
He really shouldn't be wearing Speedos to the beach anymore.
He fears he's lost his looks as well as his confidence. Oh, buck up, little fella.
I feel terrific about where I am in my life. I look about what I've accomplished, but I feel when I look in the mirror. I'm not competing. I'm not ripping off my shirts and things of this nature trying to sell the body. But when I stand in front of the mirror and really look, I think, what the happened here? Jesus Christ.
He says that? Really?
I somehow picture Maria in the other room. Oh, jeez. Oh, God, Arnold, get away from the mirror. Just move on.
It's hard when a narcissist loses his looks.
Exactly. It's usually chicks doing that. And,
no.
I just picture him. She probably dreads the moment when he goes in the bathroom in the morning.
Ah!
Oh, God, he broke his femur again. Oh, jeez.
No, I just ate too much cheese.
And I'm constipated.
I wasn't even looking in the mirror. For a change.
Oh,
a poop joke. Man, we closed the show with a poop joke.
Oh, of course we did. Charlie Sheen's torpedo of whatever.
Doom?
Torpedo of was in Atlantic City Saturday night. He came on stage 45
torpedo
minutes late
dumb.
And said, "Sorry, I'm late. That's how I roll."
Great.
After opening remarks about TV execs and his ex, a heckler yelled he wanted a refund. Sheen displayed a wad of cash, peeled off what to be a $100 bill, and employed the man to get up here right now. The heckler accepted the cash. And
oh.
By the way, there will be no refunds at the Sexy Liberal Show, no matter how bad it sucks.
Will you be selling wine?
No. All right. This just gets weirder. Nicolas Cage was arrested for a domestic violence incident. So Dog the Bounty Hunter posted his bail.
Well, huh? What?
Okay.
That guy. Dwayne. Yeah. He, not in a bit for the show or in a professional capacity. Just
because.
He's a bail guy. All right. Oh, dear God. Playboy Mansion illness traced to hot tub bacteria. If you get in that thing, you are a dope. I've been to the... I mean, who gets in that thing?
Did you get in that thing?
No. I was too busy getting hit on by Frank Stallone.
That's so weird.
It was weird.
And he doesn't remember that.
No.
Did he call you Adrian?
L.A. County health officials say the bacteria that causes Legionnaires' disease was found in a hot tub at the Playboy Mansion, where scores of people became ill after... Seriously, don't get in there. It's...
Oh, my
it's a pitcher dish.
I cannot know what's happening in there.
The water's got to be hot enough to boil your skin off to kill up the bacteria that are growing in that little soup.
Tina Fey sank into a deep depression when she tried to breastfeed her first child and was forced to switch to formula because she wasn't producing enough milk.
Oh.
She has revealed in her new memoir, Bossy Pants. She said, however the baby was thriving, I was no longer feeling trapped, spending 30 out of every 90 minutes attached to a Williams-Sonoma juicer. She's funny.
I love her.
Listen, I had a friend that I breastfed, and it's horrifying. If I ever even had thought for a second about having a child...
Why is it horrifying?
Oh, it's you don't understand. They're like alien beasts. They clamp on there like a shark or something, and it's chapped and bleeding. And it's
natural.
Yes, yes, indeed.
But then again, so is arsenic.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true.
You would never get to the first trimester.
No.
God.
No.
Put a zipper in here.
Get this thing out of me.
Yeah, even though House Parks has brought my womanhood back, I don't still think of...
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. All right. Hey, kids. Box office in Minneapolis open in like an hour. Go to Ticketmaster.com for tickets to the Sexy Liberal Show. Tomorrow, Hump Days with the aforementioned Magical House Parks. Don't miss it. That's it for us. I'd like to thank executive producer Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on Stephanie Miller Show.